Welcome to Thankful Conversations. I'm Jane Cavender. I'll be your host for the next half hour. Today, my guest is Pastor Cameron Dockery. His name may sound familiar, especially as you're listening in Traverse City. He's a former pastor at Bayview Wesleyan as a contemporary service pastor from 2007 to 2012. It's Pastor's Month here in October, and I wanted to bring him in today. He's also published his first book, House of Spirits, this year, and it's a great page-turner. Married to wonderful Lisa, I worked with her at one time, so I'm familiar with her as well. He is on a journey, just like the rest of us, with a testimony that is truly amazing. Pastor Cameron, thank you for being with us today, all the way from North Carolina. We're going to start out with your journey towards your faith and becoming a pastor. Everyone has a story, and everybody listening, this one is quite amazing in that God can use anyone. And Pastor Cameron, he absolutely used you. Let's start with your journey towards your faith.
Okay, well, I was not raised in church, never went really, and except maybe a little bit of VBS in the summer, a time or two. Like many people, I grew up in a quite dysfunctional home. We never lacked for basic essentials and never wondered if we were loved, me and my sisters, but it was very volatile. There was a lot of alcohol, and there was a whole lot of a party environment.
How many were in your family?
I have two siblings, my two sisters. One's a special needs sister.
Where were you born?
They used to call it mental retardation. You know, they don't use that term anymore. And I grew up in a home where pretty much my sister never spoke a word. And we all kind of raised her. I changed her diapers until she was 16 years old.
And where were you born?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
You recognize that little accent there, everybody.
Yep, I'm a Southerner.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I come up in that home and, you know, never went to church until in that party environment, you know, I just done what was modeled before me, and I just started drinking as a teenager.
You were 15 when you took your...
my wife at a place called the Boondocks, which is a bar. It was a bar.
Wow.
And she went for the music. She was only 17. I was 19. I went for everything that environment offered and met her on the dance floor. And we danced for the whole night to beach music, she and I did. And she gave me her phone number, and she had to leave at 11. And I didn't know she was 17. She told me she was 21. She lied.
Oh,
I told her I was 20. And I lied our first time we met because we're both underage to be in there. And so our relationship began like that, you know. And I called her up a few days later, and she told me that if I was going to date her, I had to go to church. So I began going to church just so I could go out with her on Friday nights. And we dated a year and a half, and we're married.
Wow. Married September 11th, 1982. Still married today.
We were. And I came to our wedding rehearsal drunk.
Wow.
And I embarrassed everyone there. Lisa, her parents, they didn't know I drank. She did, but they didn't know I drank. And I embarrassed the family. My family was humiliated. I just made a mess out of everything. Yet somehow, by the grace of God, her parents and Lisa, they went through with the, went forward with the wedding.
Wow.
And her mother called me on our wedding day at 9 o'clock in the morning at my parents' house, and said if I come to the church drinking again, there'd be no wedding.
Oh.
And I said, yes, ma'am, I understand.
Wow.
But what I didn't know was her mom and dad told her that morning, they said, we're not going to mention this disaster last night to him. We're not going to shame him. We're not going to judge him, but we're going to love him.
Aww.
And they showed me grace.
Truly
and,
Christian love right there.
After I was married, I went to our church revival. I didn't even know what revival was. And an evangelist was speaking, and I committed my life to Christ on October the 7th, 3 weeks after I was married.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. That is an incredible journey. So shortly after that, you were called to ministry. You felt like You were called into being a pastor.
I did. I was just consumed with the Bible and with the presence of God. And having never been in church, it was just like a sponge. I didn't know anything. I was soaking it all up. And I just felt God called me to pastor. And so shortly after my conversion, like a month, I met with our minister. And I told him how I was feeling. He said, "Son, you've had a call to preach." I said, "Well, what's that look like?" I didn't know anything about it.
Had you ever read your Bible?
No, not very much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was a little boy, a Bible story maybe. But never. I mean, I wasn't raised in church. We didn't go to church. There was one Bible in the house that my parents had on a dresser that was filled with envelopes and bills that needed to be paid, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
We just didn't read the Bible. And so I began reading with my wife when I became a Christian, you know. She taught me my first verse and helped me memorize John 3:16. So,
I was
consumed with the Word that... You know, the pastor saw it, and my in-laws, they saw that in me. They said, "There's something going on here." And so I enrolled in a Bible college in High Point, which is really close to where we live, just basically the same town. And I began going to Bible college at night, January, after I was married in September. I didn't know where I was looking. I was sitting in Bible college looking in the New Testament for Old Testament books because I didn't know where anything was at. And that was my discipleship for 4 years.
Wow. And your first verse, can you recite that for us right now? Because it's true today.
John 3:16?
Yes.
Yes, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, of course, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amazing. Amazing. It's true today, it was true then, and it's true always. So your journey into ministry took you from North Carolina to Alaska through Michigan and back to North Carolina. Talk about your journey as a pastor.
Okay. Well, when I was in Bible college, I was only in Bible college for a couple of years, and our district superintendent asked me to fill a pulpit temporarily. And so when I was 22 years old, I was preaching every Sunday, and I don't know a lot now, but I didn't know anything then. But they were hurting that much for pastors. They just threw a kid right into the fire there. And I pastored a little church in Durham close to Duke University for a year and a half. And then I went to a little country church outside of Greensboro in Franklinville, North Carolina, a real small town. Stayed there 5 years. I went to Asheboro, which is 30 minutes away. And while I was there, God called me to Alaska. He just imprinted that on my heart like a missionary. And I made a call, something I'd never done, to a headquarters. And Lisa and I never lived there for 35, 40 minutes from the place, town we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called headquarters, and they said, "There's one church in Alaska we're going to close, Cam. We don't have anything else there. And if you go there, you're going to have to get a job and go to work." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And he said, "Have you talked to your wife?" I said, "Not yet." He said, "You might want to talk to her and call me back."
Let me ask you this, Cameron. During this time, did you feel worthy starting to preach so shortly after becoming a pastor?
I don't feel worthy now.
With your background. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I did. You know, Billy Graham said the same thing when he was preaching in Russia after the fall of, just before the wall fell. Billy Graham was preaching in Russia, and the Red Guards cut the wires that drew so many people. He heard those Russians chanting, "Billy, preach to us." And Billy Graham said, "I didn't feel worthy of that." I didn't feel worthy either.
So you talked to your wife, and you moved to Alaska. What was that like?
Culture shock. it's a different world. I mean, it's opposite end of the continent, and you know, God called me, and I knew if Lisa didn't want to go, that, well, I couldn't do that because probably God hadn't called me. And in the space of a couple of months, God brought her and laid this on her heart, and it just blew her parents' mind. They never thought she'd move that far from home with the grandkids. It's 5,000 miles. And we were further than some of our missionaries overseas from our home. And so, yeah, we went to culture. It was 15 years there. stepped off the plane, it was 40 degrees below zero.
I was going to say, 31st. A little bit colder up there.
It was. And so we kind of found our way, we kind of melded into that community. Mm. And I thought I'd be there 4 or 5 years. We stayed 15. We actually raised our kids there.
Wow.
We didn't move till our youngest had graduated high school.
Mm.
And that little church now runs about 400 people. Well, that's big for that little community.
Mm.
And when I was there, it never ran over 70 people. When I showed up the first day, we had only 35.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And it's just, Alaska's a reviving door. A lot of people come, stay a while, say, it ain't for me, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of dealing with that in church. And so we stayed there a long time, but we spent our whole ministry there building up a leadership and laying a foundation. Long time it took.
Mm.
But when we left, you know, the church really, they went a year without a pastor. There were so many leaders in that church that could do things. The West denomination waited a year to bring somebody in there because they wanted to get the right person.
Mm.
And so, but it's done very well. God bless that. Mm. From Alaska, we moved to Traverse City.
That was in 2007. You're listening to Thankful Conversations. We are with Pastor Cameron Dockery. And as we talked before the interview, you were a pastor there with the Contemporary Service at Bayview Wesleyan Church for, from 2007 to 2012. Tell us about that, because you said when we planned this that you left your hearts here in Traverse City to a certain extent.
We did. We went there and served with Pastor Jack Steinberg. I'm sure you know Pastor Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And Avis Ward and Don Parker.
Oh, yes. Don's
Don
still
was
here.
Our sound guy at the church. And Bayview's a great church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we served there for 5 years, and they called us to help plant and start their Contemporary Service. We ran two services simultaneous with our traditional service, and I was out in the gym with a contemporary group, and we loved it. And my wife's kidney disease, we learned about it in Alaska, it worsened.
Mm.
And she got off and on really sick during that time, and yet God helped us, and we really enjoyed it. Pastor Jack's a great man. In Bayview, there's great people there. In Traverse City, you can't live there and not love it. And I think about it. Lisa, every now and then, comes back to Hagerty for meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I go with her when I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love downtown Traverse City. There's something about the culture there that it just works for me. There's a lot of culture there. A lot of writers, a lot of art,
mm-hmm.
as you know, theater, dinner mm-hmm. theaters there. It's just a great place to be.
You are welcome anytime. Now, with Lisa's health challenges, you did travel back to North Carolina. You moved back home. Tell us about her health right now, because anybody that's listening that was familiar with you is probably going to want an update as well.
Her health, now, she had a transplant, and right now she's doing very well. We both had COVID.
Mm.
And we survived that really, really well. I was only down 3 or 4 days. Lisa knocked her down for 3 weeks because she takes, after her transplant, she takes immune, you know, suppressants
mm-hmm.
for her anti-rejection. And she was sick for 3 weeks, but she's doing very well. I mean, the healthiest she's been in 20 years probably now.
Fantastic.
And but she, it was touch and go. We were in North Carolina for a year. She went into full-blown kidney failure.
Mm.
She went on temporary dialysis, and I wasn't sure she was going to survive for a while.
Mm.
And it just rocked my world. It really rocked my world.
Where was your faith at this time with this huge health challenge?
Well, I was pastoring a little church, and that was another culture shock because I moved from Traverse City, you know, a full-blown contemporary service to a very traditional service in Eden, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a very small town, a very traditional service. I didn't really fit there,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of hit a wall. In Lisa's health, it just compounded things, and so after 2 years, I resigned that church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I kind of went through the most difficult time of my Christian experience. It was bittersweet because during that time, someone come forward, we got a living donor, a lady from Southern California moved to this little town, and we come there from Michigan, and we met in the same town. And she offered my wife a kidney, and we went through that process, and she turned out to be a perfect match.
Wow.
Which is a miracle
hmm.
that you can come from Southern California and Traverse City, Michigan, and meet in a little town called Eden, North Carolina. And we had that transplant. They both got sick. She had the donor had the shingles, and Lisa went into full-blown failure, total kidney failure, had to go on dialysis, so that postponed the transplant a little bit. And she had her transplant in January of 2014.
Hmm.
And I resigned that church in March or April, I think, of 2014.
You had a lot going on, and since that time, you have published a book. You contacted me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, can I send you my book? Yes, absolutely. And I sat down one morning. It's a 74-page book. It's a real page-turner. It's called House of Spirits by Cameron Dockery. Where can you get this book?
You can get it at Horizon Books. They've stocked it. They have a limited supply, but they actually ordered it through their distributor. They have it in stock there.
Mm-hmm.
You can support your local bookstore. You can also get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
On their website,
mm-hmm.
printed,
mm-hmm.
and you can get the e-version on Amazon. It comes on Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And in Traverse City, that's the two places you can get it right now, Amazon and then Horizon.
Well, I read through it in like an hour and a half. I couldn't put it down. Tell us about the book. There's a person in it. The key focus on it is on Peter. And Peter, it turns out, is you. Tell us about the book.
Well, when I resigned the church, you know, we come through Lisa's transplant. We got over that mountain and went through that valley. And I had resigned the church, and I was working for Lowe's Home Improvement as a kitchen designer. And no longer being a pastor, I felt like I lost my identity. And I've often taught that our identity is wrapped up in Christ. It's in Christ, not what we do for a living. And I had to walk that out. And I was having a hard time. And I remember... I had resigned the church. I'd been gone from North Carolina 20 years. No one in the district here knew who I was, really. And I thought my pastoring days were over. I thought it was behind me. And I walked into our den one night, and I said, I'm serving a life sentence with no chance of parole.
Hmm.
By that I meant my heart is in ministry, but I'm not. And I'm never going to be paroled from my calling. God's called me there, but I have no place to serve. And I was having to work two Sundays a month, and couldn't go to church half the time, and I went through a depression. My own kids said, Dad, you're not doing very well. And so when I walked into the den, I said, I'm serving a life sentence with no chance of parole. A light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, I wonder what it would be like if a guy walked through tragedy, turned from faith and his family even, in his home, and landed in a bar, and what if there was an angel there on the rescue mission that God sent to restore him?
Hmm.
And that was the birth of the book. It was really birthed out of pain and my own sense of failure.
Hmm.
And, you know, story, every story you read, is very basic components. There's character, plot, and setting. And every story has a promise, a process, and a payoff. And I thought, I bet I can weave something with that thing because they're all held together by the glue of conflict. And I had a big conflict in my life. And all of us do. We all have some kind of conflict somewhere. And that's just over a few months, I just kind of mapped out that plot and setting. And Peter, you know, was a guy in the book that went through a tragedy of losing his wife and kid. That was his conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But his greater conflict was his anger and bitterness. And I called him his demons.
Now, his wife and son had died in an automobile accident. And he had survived.
He survived. Yes, he
mm-hmm.
survives. And he moves in with his parents because he's too banged up to take care of himself. And he thought it would help him walk through the healing process. His dad's a pastor. But it only got worse because he was so angry because his dad forgave the man that hit his wife and son in this car accident.
Mm.
But Peter couldn't forgive him. He was filled with anger and bitterness, and it was killing him. And so this angel confronts him with his own demons.
In a bar.
Him,
in
know,
a bar.
Where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of time travel, you know. They go to a few places. And, yeah, that's what that was all about.
So Peter walks from a lot of anger into believing once again, and actually walks into, well, I don't want to give it all away, but walks into a church that he had attended, that his father preached in at the end of the book. But the journey in between the beginning and the end, I mean, Cameron, had you ever written a book before?
I'd written a couple of short stories that I put on Kindle, but they weren't very well because I didn't get an editor, and so I took them down. But I wrote this story a dozen times. I wrote it and rewrote it 12 times.
Wow. How long did it take you to write it?
A few years.
A few years. And right now you're working on a second book. This first one, we're talking to Pastor Cameron Dockery. He wrote the book House of Spirits, and you can pick it up at Horizon or order it on Amazon. It's a quick read, 74 pages, and he's working on a second one. This could be a whole series, huh?
Yeah, probably three. Probably a trilogy.
Okay.
And the second one picks up where the first one left off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes through healing, and in the second one, it picks up, and the name of the second book is called Blessing on the Rocks, My Father's Son. And it's about, you know, how children have got to receive their parents, their father's blessing. And we're going to weave Esau's experience there into this story. And, you know, the baptism of Jesus when the father says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Because in the House of Spirits, Peter was introduced to a guy sitting at a bar that never received his father's blessing. That guy's name was Thomas. And he spent his whole life filled with doubt. And the reason he's filled with doubt is his father never blessed him with approval. And he feels like he's having to earn that, but he doesn't know what to call it. So in book two, we're going to deal with that. That's what I'm about a third of the way through it now. I want to have it out by the first of the year.
What is your hope with your book, The House of Spirits, for those maybe that pick it up, maybe don't have a deep faith? What is your hope as they read through House of Spirits?
My hope is for the book was that it would speak to hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I sold it for 99 cents on Kindle. That's as cheap as Amazon will let you sell it. They won't let you sell it any cheaper. And that's why I held that price so cheap there. And I printed it. You can get the print for $6. I'm not trying to make a lot of money. I just want to get the message out there that grace is real. And God doesn't throw us away. Your boss might throw you away. Sometimes family will throw you away. There's a few times a church might throw you away. And you might want to throw yourself away. But grace is real. And God doesn't throw people away. It's real. Restoration happens. When we surrender our hearts to the Lord in the presence of His Spirit, restoration happens. God doesn't throw us away.
This is a way for you to pastor to people through your books.
Well, yeah, and I'm pastoring now. I've been in the church for 5 years now, coming up on my fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the end of the book, I mean the acknowledgments, I'm in a little town with two stoplights. And I say it's a little town where everyone knows your name and most people know your business. That's just how a little town is. I love it.
How many people live there?
Less than 1,400.
Okay, well, that's great.
It's a small town, and everyone pretty much knows everyone. And my wife and I, we really fit here. This is where God's planted us, and we love it. And the book's actually on sale. There's three stores in this little town carrying this book.
That's great.
And the Lord's used. I'm amazed at how it's being used. Amazon would tell you that the typical self-published book they do sells less than 150 copies in a lifetime. And we're approaching 400 here in just a few months.
Praise the Lord. That is fantastic.
So God's using it, and I'm very humbled. I'm very humbled by that.
If you'd like to contact Cameron Dockery, he can be reached at camswriting@gmail.com. That's camswriting@gmail.com. I hope you can get a hold of this book. It's called House of Spirits. And about the author, at the back of the book, it says he believes grace represents the greatest chapter of his very blessed life. A lot of people listening in Traverse City. We're going to play some music from Matt Redman, You Never Let Go. Can you pray us out as we wrap up this interview? Thank you so much. Continued success with your ministry and with your books. And hi to your wife, Lisa.
Thank you, Jane. I really appreciate this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for your presence in our lives, your blessings on our lives. I thank you for grace and restoration and healing. And Lord, I thank you for the Bayview Church and the blessing you've made that congregation to Traverse City for a long time. And for the ministry of WLJN. And people like Jane and Don Parker, just a couple that I know there, and a very long track record they have of serving the kingdom in that city. And I pray your blessings on WLJN and thank you for it and for them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cameron Dockery. Here's Matt Redman with You Never Let Go.